أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir program, page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 152, which is the second page in Surah Al-A'raf in the 8th juz of the Quran. In the previous episode we began with the Tafsir of this amazing Surah, the 7th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. And we mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal begins this surah with the letters that are known as the huruf al-muqatta', those letters that Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes begins certain surahs with, or begins certain surahs with. And Allah Azza wa Jal then goes on to speak about the Quran and its importance and its blessing, and how if we follow the teachings of the Quran and the message of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, then in that lies our salvation and our success in this life and the next. And as for those who turn away from the Qur'an and they follow other than the Qur'an and they don't dedicate themselves to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they don't believe in it, they outright deny and reject it, then those are the people that will have nothing except loss, and will have nothing except Allah Azza wa Jalla's punishment and wrath. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions those people who came before, that the punishment of Allah would strike them when they were least aware or least expecting it. And then they would realize that they had done wrong and that their whole life was one of evil. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that He will question people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, both the messengers and the people to whom those messengers were sent. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla will establish upon them evidence and will weigh their deeds and weigh their actions. And those whose actions are heavier in the scales of good, they will be successful. And those whose actions are heavier in the scales of evil and bad, then those are the ones who will be in a state of loss. Today we continue from verse number 11, and today's passage primarily will be concerning the story of the Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned in the previous verse, the previous passage in the previous episode, mentioned these general principles at the beginning of this surah. And here Allah azza wa jalla now mentioned to us the first example of disobedience to Allah azza wa jalla, when Iblis refused to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the evil that that leads to, and the harm that that leads to, even though he had seen evidence, and he knew that Allah Azza wa Jalla alone was worthy of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 11, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. We created you, we gave you shape, and then we said to the angels, bow down before Adam. And they did, but not Iblis. He was not of those who bowed down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, speaking to us as the children of Adam, reminding us of his many favors. And from his favors is the favors of Allah azza wa jalla upon us is the origin of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ, we created you, meaning at the first time when Allah Azza wa Jalla created Adam alayhi salam. Because as we mentioned before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two stages of creation when it comes to humans. The original creation of Adam, which was from mud and from the earth. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the creation of the rest of his progeny or his offspring of humans, and that is from the sperm drop. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to the original creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We created you, O Adam, and the children of Adam, we created you all originally from the land or the earth of the earth, and turning that into mud and the different stages that it went to, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention elsewhere in the Quran in a verse, inshallah ta'ala, that we will come to in a forthcoming episode in a few juz, inshallah ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took from the earth. And in one narration, Allah Azza wa Jal took from different parts of the earth. And just as you have differences in the type of earth or sand that you get upon the earth, or the different types of earths that you find on the planet, so some are softer and some are harsher, and some of are different colors and different textures, then likewise the people of the children or the children of Adam, humans, also have differences in terms of the color of their skin, and in terms of their personality, and in terms of the texture of their character. They also differ in these aspects. But Allah Azza wa Jal took from the earth and He created our father Adam alayhi salam from that original material. ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, we gave you shape and we fashioned you. In the best of forms, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created mankind in the best of forms and shapes. And what that means, as some of the scholars of Tafsir said, it's our ability to use our body in such a way that we're so dexterous and we're so able to adapt ourselves to our surroundings and what we have around us, that we're able to use this earth in ways that no other species is able to use. The way that humans, because of the legs and the arms and the digits and fingers and the way that we can hear and see, and the whole thing that we have that Allah created for us as a human species, the way that we think and the way that we understand and comprehend and what have you, has allowed us to conquer this earth as we can see today, and allowed us to use the land and the sea and the air, has allowed us to use the natural minerals and create and invent new things that further give a person ability to come and use what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them from the earth in ways that they have been then able to progress and to develop and to do so many things and flourish upon this earth. So Allah Azza wa Jalla fashioned us in the best of ways, created us in the best of ways, shaped us in the best of ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمُ. And then we said, after Allah Azza wa Jalla created Adam alayhi salam, our first father, and had shaped him and had blown into him of his spirit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded the angels, اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمُ, that you should bow down before Adam. And this is a bowing of respect and honor, not a bowing of worship, because it was allowed in previous shari'ahs, it is not allowed in the shari'ah of the other Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah abrogated this for us. But in previous shari'ahs, like we see in the story of, for example, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and other than that in the Quran, that they would prostrate before people that they would honor, their parents, their leaders, their kings. They would honor them in that way by bowing down before them. And again, it's not out of worship. It is one out of respect for our ummah. That's not allowed. You don't prostrate before anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded the angels to do so before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. فَسَجَدُوا. And they commanded, they obeyed the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِلَّا Iblis, except for Iblis, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. He refused to do so. He refused to turn, and he refused to do so, and he disobeyed this command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 12 tells us the reason as to why Iblis refused.
قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين.
Allah said, what prevented you from bowing down as I commanded you? And he replied, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. So Allah Azza wa Jalla asked Iblis, why didn't you do as you were commanded? Why didn't you obey my command when I commanded you to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam? This was his response. I am better than him. His arrogance, his haughtiness, his pride overcame him. And that is why many of the scholars used to say that it is the essence of all evil. These traits of arrogance and pride, they are the essence of all evil and they are the essence of shirk. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who has even a morsel, the smallest part of pride and haughtiness and arrogance, will not enter into paradise because of how evil it is. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ, he said, I am better than him. Why? خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Because you created me from a better material, from something better, which is the fire. The fire is stronger than the mud through which you created Adam alayhi salam. That's his logic. And this shows to us a number of things. Number one, that our religion is not based on logic. Our religion is based upon Allah's commands and text. And that's why we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, not our logic. Yes, you use your intelligence and logic to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, but within the confines of the Quran and Sunnah. You don't reject the Quran and the Sunnah. You don't debate the Quran and the Sunnah based upon your intellect and your logic. But rather, you use your logic and complement it with understanding the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here, Allah Azza wa Jal is giving a command that is text in the form of prostrate, O Iblis, to Adam. That's what text is. Text is Allah's sayings in the Quran, or what He inspired to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that He told us. And so he's telling Allah Azza wa Jalla, is telling Iblis at the beginning of creation of the creation of humankind, prostrate to Adam. That's the text, that's the command. What does Iblis use to refute that command of Allah Azza wa Jalla? His logic. So that's the first point. Our religion isn't based upon whether you can make sense or understand or make wisdom of something, or understand the wisdom behind something. If you can, alhamdulillah. But if you cannot, Allah didn't say that you have to only obey that which you understand, which makes sense to you, which you find the wisdom in. Allah said, obey me in everything. Submit to everything. If you understand, that's good. And maybe if you learn more and study more and have and seek knowledge more, then you will come to understand many things. But for you to say that it is a prerequisite for my obedience to Allah, my worship to Allah, that's exactly what Iblis did. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this story here. Because many of the people that reject Islam or reject the prophets, they do so not based upon textual evidence, not based upon even what is good or upright or just. It is based upon their logic. And logic then differs from person to person. What I think, what makes sense to me, doesn't make sense to you. What makes sense to you doesn't make sense to the third person. And that is why in our worldly life, we have so many differences. Even in your family, if you were to go around and there's 5-6 of you, and the mother was to ask, or the father was to ask their children, what do you want for dinner today? One person wants this type of cuisine, another person wants takeaway, the third person wants... Everyone's got their own mind, because everyone's logic is different. You want to go somewhere out as a family together, everyone wants to do something different. Some people just want to relax, some people want to go to the beach, some people want to go to a mountain, some people... Everyone has their own way, because logic differs in that way. No two people have the same level of intelligence, understanding, wisdom, and that is why if the religion was left to people's logic, it would become chaotic, which is what we see even in Islam. All of these differences and groups that we have is because people are using their logic in their religion. So they reject parts of Aqidah, or they invent different things into their religion because certain aspects they couldn't understand, didn't make sense to them. So they chose to do something new because they felt that was more palatable and understandable and relatable to people. But the next person comes and says, actually, that doesn't really make sense to me either. So I will do it like this. And before you know it, you have so many different varieties. Whereas what you're meant to do, stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. Doesn't make sense to you, it's okay. As Ali radiallahu anhu said, if we were to use our logic in our religion, then when it came to making wudu and wiping over the sock, we'd wipe over the bottom of the sock as opposed to the top. Because that's the part that touches the ground, that's the part that has dirt on it, if anything is going to have dirt on it, not the top of the sock. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he said, but we don't use our logic in our religion. The Prophet ﷺ commanded us to wipe over the top of the sock, and that's what we do. That's our religion. Does it make sense to you? It's okay. Allah told you to have iman and to worship. Allah didn't say to you, understand first and then worship me. Allah said, worship me. And if you understand or you can have the logical understanding of something, then that is okay. But also because that logic can be corrupted. Shaitan's logic is corrupted because he thinks that fire is better than clay. Who said fire is better than clay? That's his logic. That's what he understands. But we don't have to accept why is that better than the earth? Isn't the earth the place of life? Doesn't all vegetation, all fruit, all tree, all plants, which are, the as we know now, we need oxygen that comes from all of that. That's where we get our source of oxygen, that's how we survive. Doesn't all of that come from the earth? And what does the fire do? Yes, it provides warmth and ability to cook, has some benefits, but it also provides a great deal of harm. It provides, it gives to us destruction and fire, which burns everything and chars everything. And so it is also very harmful in that way. So what is better in terms of personality? If you were to have a fiery personality, or if you were to have a down-to-earth personality, one that is kind and soft and gives the ability to grow, as opposed to one that is harsh and burnt. And yes, it may be fun for a time, but it is also very overpowering and overcoming. And so many people, I think, would say that the one that is down-to-earth is even better. So again, logic isn't necessarily what you believe or what you hold. So the logic that is even given here by Iblis isn't necessarily correct logic either. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, therefore, that for people, for humankind, rather than everyone doing as they believe based upon their own logic, Allah told you what is good. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just and all wise and all knowing. So therefore, what He commands and gives must be good, whether you understand or you don't understand. Allah only commands that which is good and beneficial, whereas humans are deficient in their intelligence and in their logic, and so therefore sometimes, or many times, they can say and do that which isn't actually good or beneficial.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, the Green Lane Masjid app is live. Now you can get reminders for all 5 daily prayers and learn all of the latest events at the Masjid. Download the app in just 2 easy steps. Go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and search for Green Lane Masjid. Tap install and open the app once installed. It's that simple. Download the Green Lane Masjid app now and stay connected with the Masjid, inshallah.
In verse number 13, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that after Iblis said what he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded.
قَالَ فَهْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ.
Allah said, get down from here. There is no place for your arrogance. Get out, you are contemptible. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla expelled him from the heavens. Expelled him from that company of the company of the angels that he was in. Told him to leave because of the kibr that he had. There is no place here for the arrogance that you show, for the pride that you show, because you don't obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla told him to leave, that he would be from the lowly. And there is nothing lower, or no one lower than shaitan. He is the lowest of Allah's creation, because he disobeyed Allah, and then he dedicated his existence to the misguidance of others, that they should also be from amongst those people that turn away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in verse 14, that this was the request of Iblis.
قَالَ أَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ.
But Iblis said, give me respite until the day people are raised from the dead. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse 15 says that he responded and said,
قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ.
And Allah replied, you have respite. Meaning he asked Allah, Allah give me respite. Meaning don't destroy me now. Don't punish me now. Allow me respite. Meaning to live until يوم القيامة. إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Until the day of resurrection. And Allah said, you have been given that. So shaitan then calls the people away from Allah Azza wa Jalla and causes evil and whispers and tempts people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now someone may ask the question as to why Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him respite. And that is, and Allah knows best, because of the test that Allah Azza wa Jalla placed us upon in this earth. Allah calls to all that is good and all that is upright and all that is just, and shaitan calls to all that is the opposite of that, all that is evil, all that is unjust and all that is corrupt. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, by knowing shaitan and his evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows to us what is good and what is pure. By knowing its opposite, you also see what is good and what is pure. So when you see evil, then you recognize what is good. So Allah Azza wa Jal allowed for shaitan to come, and through the evil of shaitan, Allah Azza wa Jal rewards us for withholding or withstanding his temptations and his desires and his whisperings. Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards us when we turn away from him and we turn to the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us when we succumb to his whisperings. But then we turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance and seeking forgiveness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a path for the believers to attain the highest of levels. By fighting against shaitan and responding against the temptations of shaitan. And he has made it the way of the disbelievers and the people of evil, that they find a way that will take them towards the punishment that they will have as a result of their disbelief. And that is why shaitan then makes this accord, or he declares his intentions in verse number 16, and he says,
قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Iblis then replied, because you have put me in the wrong, I will lie in wait for them all on your straight path. Iblis replied after he was given respite until يوم القيامة, that because of Allah, I am from the wrongdoers. I am the one who did evil, and I have been outcast. I will stop them from following your straight path. I will sit upon it and divert them away from it. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he drew a line that is straight on the ground, and he said, this is the straight path that leads to Allah, and lines then to the right and the left, that these are the paths to the right and left that lead you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. They take you to the paths of shaitan. Each one of them has a devil at the head of it, calling to that path. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us a straight path that leads to him. But shaitan has planted himself on that straight path. And that is why, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jannah, paradise, is surrounded by difficulty and hardship. And the hellfire, the nar, the Jahannam, it is surrounded by desires and by ease. And so when people look at those desires and temptations, they're willing to follow them. Those are the paths of shaitan that divert away from the straight path there, the paths to the light, the right and the left. Each one calls to it. One's calling to drinking alcohol, one's calling to riba, one's calling to zina, one's calling to disobeying your parents, one's calling to not praying, one's calling to not giving zakah or not performing hajj. All of these are different paths, and there are many of them. The path to Allah is one and it is straight. And if you know it, it is simple to follow. Because it is easy. What is halal, what is haram. That's all it is. Believe in Allah, worship Allah, live your life in accordance to that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated. But all of these other paths, all of these other variances, all of these other paths that we have to the right and left, those are all different things that the shaitan calls to. And this is what he told us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us already that this is shaitan's plan. This is the test and this is what is in store for you. So there is no surprise, there is no unexpected thing that's going to happen. There is no thing that this is the test, but you don't know what the answer is, you don't know what the result is, you don't know how to overcome the test. This is the test, shaitan. Because then he says in verse number 17, continuing, that not only will he stand on the straight path and stop people from following it, but he continues and says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will come at them from their front and their back, from their right and their left, and you will find that most of them are ungrateful. This is what shaitan will do. Meaning from every single direction, from the least place that you expect. Sometimes even when you're doing a good deed, shaitan will come. And if you have an option of doing a good deed, he will delay it. Or if you're doing a good deed and there's multiple options of doing good deeds, he will make you do the less of it. Or if he can't even stop you from doing good deed or get you to do an evil deed, he will just delay you from doing the good one and busy you with things that are halal, they're permissible, but you don't get any reward for them. He has so many different traps and so many different levels of diverting and pushing people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala was asked, when do we have respite from shaitan? When are we safe from him? He said, when you put your right foot into Jannah. When your right foot goes into paradise, then you are safe from him. Until that time, you are never safe. Because he's always looking for a way. Even now, salah, as we know, each one of us knows this reality. You come and you pray and you say, Allahu Akbar. And what happens? You start to think about your family, your business, your career, your job, your relatives, the problems that you have with your friends. Or sometimes it's, oh, I forgot to do this, I forgot to look at that, or I was meant to do this, and that's all that shaitan does. So now you're praying and you're turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla and you're fulfilling your obligation, but even in that obligation, your concentration, your awareness, your submission to Allah Azza wa Jalla is being lessened with every passing moment. Because that is what shaitan does. He comes to you even upon the path of good, and he makes it difficult for you. So you want to read the Quran now. After 10 minutes, it's difficult. You find it burdensome and heavy upon you. But if you were to put the Quran down and watch TV or read a book or look at a magazine, you could spend 45 minutes, an hour, maybe even more, and it wouldn't be a problem. You go with your friends and you enjoy and have a nice time. It's amazing. It's easy. You could spend a whole day with them and you could chill. But go to the masjid and listen to a lecture, read some Quran, learn some tafsir, attend a class. After 10 minutes, we're like, this is long. 20 minutes, it's like, why is he speaking for so much? And this is what shaitan does. Even though there is good and reward in that latter one. And in the former one, even if there's no haram, you're just wasting time. You're not gaining anything. There's no reward in it. It's just halal. It's permissible maybe. And oftentimes that even leads into some type of haram. You do some bad. There's some backbiting involved. Some lying involved. Some taking fun of, making fun of people involved. Whatever it may be. And so there's an element of haram in it. Even if the whole thing isn't haram. That's what shaitan does. And so the one who knows and recognizes this will work to fight their desires and to submit themselves to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because once you have overpowered your desires and your soul, then the path of good becomes easy for you. As was the case with the companions and the others. Don't think that it just happened to them naturally, but they fought and they struggled. And once the struggle was complete or they had a ability to suppress their soul and their desire, then they were able to do good easily. And that's why you find even to say there are people who will go and spend hours learning, seeking knowledge, spend hours worshipping Allah, pray Taraweeh, pray Qiyamul Layl, pray and do good and give charity, and so, because they've learned to overcome that aspect of their desire and their nafs. Whereas other people don't have that level of determination or that level of strength yet, and that's something that we all have to fight against. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And that is why shaitan says, and you will find most of them are ungrateful. Oh Allah, when I come and I tell them this, you will find most of them will follow me. And we know that to be the reality, as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us himself in the Quran, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. The vast majority of people who claim to believe in Allah are indeed mushrikeen. as the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the vast majority of people will be in the fire and not in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said to him, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah said to him, get out, you are disgraced and banished. I swear I shall fill hell with you and all who follow you. So Shaitan was told that leave and do as you please, because the true slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal will turn to him in worship, and those who follow the path of Shaitan, they will follow him into the fire for eternity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us the test that was given to Adam alayhi salam and his wife. And he says, وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But you and your wife Adam live in the garden in Jannah. Both of you eat whatever you like, but do not go near this tree, or you will become wrongdoers. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives now the first test to humankind, to our father and mother Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. Enter into Jannah. Do as you please. Eat from everything that you please, except for this one tree, because then you will be from the wrongdoers. And this is exactly what our life is. Allah says, do as you please. However, do these obligations, stick to these obligations, stay away from those prohibitions. Everything else is halal for you. You want a nice car, you want a nice house, you want, do it. Fine, go, it's halal. But so long as you don't steal people's wealth, you're not oppressive in terms of what you are taking, you're not going to engage in interest and so on, the rest of it is halal. Just follow these commandments. The majority is permissible. But stay close to these commandments of Allah, obligations and prohibitions. Likewise, Adam alayhi salam is told, all of Jannah is for you. Stay away from one tree. Everything in Jannah except the one tree. But what does Shaitan do? And this is the whispering of Shaitan, is that one thing that he will tempt you with. That one thing that you can't have, that he will come and he will show to you is what you actually need to have. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 20. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُورِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the shaitan then whispered to them as to expose them, so as to expose their nakedness, which had been hidden from them. He said, your Lord only forbade you this tree to prevent you becoming angels or immortals. Number one, all shaitan does is whisper. Shaitan can't force, shaitan can't manipulate you in any other way in terms of forcing you or holding your family to ransom or putting a gun to your head. Shaitan whispers to you, but his whisperings go into the heart, number one. Number two, shaitan guides you to that which is evil. Before this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that Adam alayhi salam wasn't aware of his own nakedness. Didn't know, wasn't exposed to that type of evil or that type of shame. But because evil and haram leads to shame, it leads you to being exposed to that which makes your soul worse and takes you further away from Allah Azza wa Jal and corrupts your heart. That is what Shaitan does. So what did Shaitan do? He came to them and he said, the only reason that Allah forbade you from that one tree is because that's the tree that will give you immortality, or it will make you like the angels. And that is what Shaitan does. False promises. The one thing that you can't have is actually what you need. Allah gave you so many blessings, but he makes you ignore all of those blessings, and the one thing that you can't have, that's what you need. That interest is what you need in order to get a bit more wealth. You need that more money. You're living, you have a house, alhamdulillah, you have things, you're living, it's fine. But no, you need that extra £1,000 that interest payment will give to you. Or whatever it may be, in every single one of those evil deeds or things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram and prohibited, that is what Shaitan does. That's the one thing that you need. So we covet that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram. And that which is halal, it's open for you, then it's something which you already have access to, so it's not the same. So Jannah was open, all of it for Adam. One tree is forbidden for him. Shaitan comes and says, you know why that is? Allah doesn't want you to have it, because then you would have eternity. And Shaitan knows us better than we know ourselves. Shaitan knows our desires. Shaitan knows what we long for. Shaitan knows what we wish for. So he knows that humans like to or want to live forever or as long as they can. He knows that we want wealth and to be able to spend. He knows that we want power and fame. These are the things that every human by their nature covets. And so Shaitan presses those buttons that we have. And that's why each one of us has our weaknesses. For some people it's the opposite gender. For some people it's drinking and alcohol, for some people it's drugs, for some people it's money, for some... So Allah, Shaitan knows These are your weaknesses, and those are the ones that he will then exploit. In the final verse that we will take today, verse number 21, he continues, or Shaitan continued and said to Adam alayhi salam, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And he swore to them, I am here to give you sincere advice. And that is what Shaitan comes to. Shaitan never comes to you as Shaitan, as Iblis, follow me, you're going to the fire, but do it anyway, it doesn't matter. Shaitan comes to you and he makes it feel like it's something that you need, something that you desire, something that without which you cannot function. And then he beautifies it to you, tempts, makes it tempting to you, adorns it for you, and then you fall into that trap. And we will see, inshallah ta'ala, in the forthcoming episode, as we know what will happen when Adam alayhi salam disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal in this regard, and the way that that will then work out, and his repentance that he will make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for today's episode, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude here. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.